This time we'll call up our brother Matt for the words of exhortation.
Thanks, Brother Chase, and good morning, everyone. I'm going to try to keep my voice as long as possible. So, we'll take our thoughts this morning from Mark chapter 7. And we'll be looking at the subject of tradition and hopefully gain some exhortation or encouragement through a brief look at where the Pharisees were at this time, where they were placing their importance, and considering the question, can we, in a way, fall into this, the way of thinking, even if it's just in small points, and of honoring God with our lips and not having the heart in it. As verse 6 says, I'd just like to read the first maybe 10 or 12, 13 verses just as a refresher. So Mark 7, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things do ye. So I think it's possible for us to begin to do some of these things, even if it's in a very small way, in an area of life, and in part of our worship of God. They were putting traditions above God's commands in importance, teaching man's ideas as doctrine. And we only have to go over to Matthew chapter 23, where he talks about these washing of the cups and pots to see what Jesus meant. In Matthew 23, verse 25, it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So they were clearly focusing on the external, what a righteous person should look like, and how others see that person. Where was the focus on the internal? God sees the heart and the mind, the thoughts and intents. So I think we need to be careful to stay away from this legalistic and external way of thinking. Also that we don't place too much emphasis on a tradition that we might hold or forget why it became a tradition in the first place. Or the benefit that a tradition might bring to our lives in Christ. So then I don't want this exhortation to seem too harsh. So are all traditions bad? Well, no, just because the Pharisees were holding traditions in this way, it doesn't mean that traditions are bad. Some and many can be good and coincide with the commandments of God. And I think through, in a few moments, looking through some examples in the epistles of Paul, we'll see examples of traditions that were held by true disciples of Christ, and then there's traditions that are held by people who seem to have it right and don't. So, but first, we as Christadelphians and as an ecclesia have followed some and many traditions that are good and are intended to help us better serve God and glorify Him and have a fuller, richer life as a family and as a body of believers. For example, we organize study days and fraternals, and that's a great opportunity for fellowship. You know, we traditionally have meals at those times together. We have structured meetings so that the time we spend together as an ecclesia isn't just random. And our worship together contains different aspects: hymn singing, reading together, prayers together, etc. You know, we organize a Sunday school picnic. We have a youth group that meets regularly. We have a sister's class and a Thursday night Bible class. We have a campaign committee for the organizing of preaching activities. We sing hymns at certain occasions, for example, at baptisms. And, you know, there's many more. Another one I didn't think of till Stephen mentioned it was the signing and sending of cards. I think that's a great tradition that we hold and keep. So I guess the main thought that I had when thinking about tradition for us and relating it to us is, does the Sunday morning meeting feel to us simply like a routine or a tradition that we keep week by week? Have we individually or collectively lost in some way what is most important about attending the memorial meeting? You know, does it feel like this time slot on Sunday feel like just what we do until about, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock? Or do we wake on a Sunday morning and with one of our first thoughts being, today is the day that we meet together to remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that this is what's truly important for us to dwell on. So how can we break away from the feeling of routine if we are feeling this way, even though we meet week by week, and how can we experience each Sunday as a distinct blessing, an opportunity to worship God and remember His Son? Well, I don't think I have all the answers, but these are some questions I think that might be good to dwell on. I'd just like to go into some letters of Paul and contrast these sort of two types of tradition. We'll start in 2 Thessalonians. Or two ways of looking at tradition, maybe. In 2 Thessalonians 2. Oh, sorry. We're going to get to Thessalonians. We're starting in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1. Picking it up at verse 11, Paul's talking about his former credentials. It says, Galatians 1:11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." So the traditions of his fathers at that time were of utmost importance prior to his conversion. But Paul was at that time missing the cornerstone which God revealed to him on the road. And similarly, in Colossians chapter 2, Paul offers a warning about the deceitfulness of man and their traditions. Colossians 2, starting at verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye were complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." So being aware of these things that are not after the way of Jesus Christ, and resisting the philosophies and the twisting of the words and deceit that can come from misplaced priority in tradition over true commandment. Now we'll get over to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2. So we kind of have this contrast of the first two examples in Galatians and Colossians to Thessalonians here, where Paul urges the believers to keep traditions that he's passed on, starting in verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So contained in the epistles of Paul are traditions that are good and to be followed, that that contain God's truth and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And similarly to this one in 1 Corinthians 11, it has a similar appeal, where he says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." So hopefully we've established that traditions can be good and useful to us, but I think that we need to be careful where we put the ultimate importance and the emphasis, making sure that the traditions we keep are in line with God's commandments and are useful in keeping them, and that not too much emphasis is placed on a tradition or a specific detail of something that we do if the reason or the biblical principle for the tradition is forgotten or becomes a secondary player. I'd just like to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and read a section from there. First Peter 1, starting at verse 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." And so, in verses 18 and 19 there, our redemption is not through tradition, but through the precious blood of Christ. We cannot be redeemed to God with a Pharisaical way of worship. But we can see how they ended up with that legalistic mindset. You know, when they sinned, they made an offering, and they were right with God, right? Well, that way of thinking meant that you could believe that as long as you made the correct offering at the correct time, you could be righteous. It was a very surface level way of looking at sin and redemption. And we know that we cannot make ourselves righteous or that we can somehow earn our salvation. It is clearly through Christ's sacrifice that we have redemption, and through God's mercy that we have forgiveness. And life is a gift that he wants to give us. So our Sunday morning remembrance of Jesus Christ, is it tradition or commandment? Well, hopefully it's both. We are commanded to remember him this way, with bread and wine, when we remember and how often is not really commanded. So hopefully this tradition that we hold does not become a routine that loses meaning, but that we see each opportunity that we meet in this way as truly special and a blessed occasion to remember our Redeemer and King.